is the relationship between self-sacrifice and discipleship to Christ? Let's talk more about it today.
Coming to you from the radio studios of Souls Harbor Covenant Church in Miami, Florida, USA, this is Walking in Power, a dynamic life application Bible study with Bern Zumpano, anointed author and teacher of authentic Christian doctrine. Bern Zumpano's spirit-filled teachings on practical Christianity have touched and transformed the lives of many people who have opened their hearts to God's Holy Spirit as a result of Bern's instructional teaching. Bern shows us how Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and how He can change your life and circumstances. We invite you now to listen in with family and friends as Bern discusses Christian issues and answers that will teach you to walk in the power and the knowledge of God through the Holy Spirit. And now, here's Bern.
Thank you, Glenn. Before we get started, let's pray. Father, on behalf of all of the people of Souls Harbor Church and all Christians worldwide, I come together in agreement, firstly speaking our voice of thanks, praise, glory, honor, exaltation, and majesty to your holy name, to all of the men of the earth and to the ends of the world. Anoint the people worldwide with eyes to see and ears to hear. We agree that all demonic scales are broken off of their spiritual eyes and ears, and that they will see and hear with the eyes and ears of your Holy Spirit. By the Spirit of power and might of your Holy Spirit, we call a clear, wide, open, unobstructed path cut to the heart, mind, soul, and spirit of every person listening, and to every man upon this earth, and agree that you will shine your light and truth upon them and into them. We agree for and call in, by faith, the greatest spiritual end-time harvest that the world has ever seen. Also in agreement, we bind Satan, the prince of the power of the air, the princes of the north, south, east, and west, all principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, wicked spirits in high places, all territorial spirits everywhere, all ruler spirits over all communities and peoples worldwide, all spirits above, around, and below them, all spirits of Antichrist, lies, deception, religion, witchcraft, python, unbelief, doubt, divination, all spirits of harm or immorality of any kind, all spirits of opposition, hindrance, interference, and obstruction, destruction, murder, theft, the Jezebel spirit, the Ahab spirit, the Absalom spirit, all spirits of slander, scandal, rumor, libel, defamation, maligning, derision, opinionated spirits, rumor and gossip, accusations, and false accusations, along with all of their physical and psychic attacks, assignments, and operations. We loose all the peoples everywhere from such activities, assignments, and attacks and operations, and call their strongholds down and destroyed, canceled, made null and void, cursed and destroyed at their roots, never more manifested or come to pass, rendered of no effect, judged, spoiled, and never seated, and decree any and all retaliation, revenge, or getting even permanently, immediately, completely, and continually forbidden, all in the mighty name of Christ Jesus. And in the authority of His name, Father, this is our faith confession, and we believe that we receive, and the saints said in agreement, Amen. Greetings to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ and friends of our radio listening audience. Welcome to our worldwide Bible study, where we're going to be talking today about the element of self-sacrifice, that is, commitment, and discipleship to Christ. Christ did not say, go out and make converts of all nations. He said to the apostles, go out and make disciples of all nations. The word disciple in the Greek of the New Testament literally means to be a learner. Christ is speaking here of us learning from Him, becoming a follower. And in order to do that, that requires commitment. Jesus used many verbal means of trying to communicate what that commitment consisted of. Sometimes he would even use what is called in the English language hyperbole. And what that means is an exaggeration of a point to make a point, to make an illustration. So, for instance, in Luke chapter 9, verse 24, we read, for whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it.
Now that's Jesus the Christ who is speaking to us. Now it is actually true that once we commit our life to Christ, that we, when we die, will gain eternal life in Him. That is our heavenly reward. But does that mean that He literally wants you to lose your life in the here and now, right now, for His sake? He's using it as illustration of the commitment that we need to have in our heart. I'm sure on occasion there are people who literally will lose their life as part of God's divine plan for their life, that He can give them a greater heavenly reward, and we have a term for that in the English language. They are referred to as martyrs, those who have sacrificed their lives for God. But if Christ literally meant that to be for every single living person, well, who would be left to preach the gospel? Who would be left to teach the word of God? Who would be left to carry out God's divine plan for the earth and the people of the earth? You see, God's a practical God. Sometimes He uses these expressions in order to illustrate something with impact. What Christ is really talking about here is commitment to follow Him. He is talking about commitment to the Christian faith walk, to being sold out to Him, His truth, His love, His purpose, not only for the people of the world, but for every individual, every person in this world. He has a divine plan for all. And so sometimes He uses these types of exaggerations, if you can call them that, to drive home ideas of the meaning of self-sacrifice and commitment to the gospel, the message of truth, the message of salvation, being saved from self, sin, and circumstances. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19, verse 21, Jesus said, "If you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." On reading that, one would get the idea that what Christ was saying was to live without anything and in utter poverty for the rest of your life. No, He's not saying that. The idea He is wishing to convey is to set aside the worldly things you love and sometimes need to follow Him. And why does He say that? Well, if He gave you those things once, He can give them back to you again, particularly at a time when you need them. Because He is the God of provision, the God of supply. So what is He looking for? He is looking for the heart of surrender, the heart of willingness to sacrifice all for Him and the kingdom. The Apostle Paul talked about this in the New Testament scripture, saying that he has, at different times of his life, had both lack and wealth. God did not withhold from him. His provisions were always met. And that is the point that we have to understand. So in this surrender and sacrifice that Jesus asks of us sometimes, we find that there is an answer and a remedy also. In the epistle to the Philippians, the Holy Spirit through Paul wrote, "My God shall provide all of my needs according to His riches in glory." When we surrender our riches and sacrifice, God gives us His riches. Now, that may seem odd to many people, particularly non-Christians, who do not understand how God operates because of the fact that maybe they have never read the Holy Scriptures. However, God proves Himself to every man who will turn to Him and trust Him and what He is doing to work His righteousness into our lives. Yes, it's true. that there were people at the time of Christ, followers of his, who literally did sell all to give to the poor. That's what God put on their heart. They were obedient. I'm sure that they did not walk the rest of their life with nothing or penniless. No, it was for a teaching, for a season. It was for a purpose, formation in him, in Christ. So in Luke 14:33, Jesus made a very strong remark. He said, "So then, none of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his possessions." Wow. You see, Jesus here is talking about setting them aside, not being attached to them, giving them up in your heart, not being attached, being focused on him and making him the center of our lives. He is one with the Father and the Holy Spirit. So in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, we read, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Now watch this. Jesus continues in Luke 14, verse 26, chapter 14, verse 26. "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his mother and father and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Wow, that makes you want to fall out of your chair, doesn't it? Well, you have to understand that these verses were written nearly 2,000 years ago in a language other than English, in ancient Koine Greek, which is the Greek of the common people of that time. And the literal translation is not hate. "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." In the Greek, that word, missio, does not mean hate in the sense of set your heart against them. The more appropriate translation is love less than. So what Jesus was really saying is, if anyone comes to me and does not love less his own father, mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, if he does not love them less than me, he cannot be my disciple. Christ is the Son of God. God has to be first in the life of all of us. So what Jesus was not actually saying, hate in the sense of hating someone or not liking them or not loving them anymore. No, he was saying, put it in a proper perspective. Your love for them has to be less than your love for me, or you cannot be my disciple. That in Scripture is called rightly dividing, rightly understanding and interpreting the word of truth. And sometimes, in order to do that, we have to do and learn how to do what are called word studies, where we actually go into the dictionaries, English and Greek dictionaries, and we learn the variations of meanings of specific words, like that word missio, which means hate in the Greek, but not in the sense of being against someone or rejecting them. No, it's more appropriate meaning, and this is in those dictionaries, is to love less than. So the idea of sacrifice is not to be governed by the possessions of the world, or not to be governed by our love for loved ones. We don't stop loving them. We just realize that we have to be Christ-centered and love God more and the most. Paul gave up all things. In Philippians 3:8, he said, "More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ." Notice how he begins that verse. He says, "More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ, Jesus, my Lord. I regard them as loss, is what he is saying. He literally did lose all things at one time. And he said, I count them all rubbish, all junk to be thrown away, so that I may gain Christ. In other words, these verses are all talking about setting a perspective of how to regard Father God, His Christ, and His Holy Spirit. The sacrifice that we make is not being attached to earthly possessions. If God gave them once to you, He can give them to you again. He wants you focused on Him. It's an idea of dying to self. He likens it to wheat. In John 12, verses 24 and 25, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. So Jesus here is talking about perspective regarding our lives, not to be attached, because we have been created and predestined to live forever with God. Hold on to that. It's very, very important. There will be trials and tribulations in this life. That's called the baptism by fire in Scripture. Those trials and tribulations which make us, mold us, form us, and break us into the image and likeness of Christ. Those experiences Christ refers to as His cross. That means the cross of the believer. In Matthew 10:38, He says, and he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. In Luke 14:27, He says, whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. What is he saying? There is no such thing as a Christian without a cross. If Christ had a cross to carry, we have a cross to carry. God will never give you something greater than you can bear. He never promised us a rose garden. He never promised us that our walk through this life would be without challenges. He uses those things to form us, mold us, make us, break us into His image and likeness, to make us more like Him, more as He is. So in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 and 25, Jesus said to the disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You see, God's ways are not our ways. Here in the earth, you must earn everything. In the kingdom of God, everything is given freely by grace. So Jesus says these things to give us a perspective that His life is eternal. It's going to last forever. Earthly life is not meant to last forever. Jesus' perspective, what He's trying to teach us is, why do you want to chase after something that is not going to last forever? You're only here for maybe 70, 80, 90 years, maybe even less, maybe only 50 or 60 years. This is a temporary life. In the New Testament scripture, Paul called it school. We're here for the experience of knowing God so that we can navigate, so to speak, in His kingdom when we go home to Him. Jesus has a great plan for you and me. Yes, it does involve an element of sacrifice, but He walks through it with you. And He gets us to where we need to be by our trust on Him. Always remember that. What He's looking for is our trust, our faith on Him. Would you like to know Him? He is a living person, a spirit person, full of love, righteousness, and salvation. Pray these words aloud now, won't you? Being willing to turn from your sin.
Say, Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I repent of my sins, all of them. I turn from them by my own free will. I renounce them. I ask your forgiveness. I invite you into my heart now to be Lord and Savior. That is, to lead me through life and save me. I confess you before men as the resurrected Christ. Come into me now, Lord Jesus Christ. I receive you by trusting faith, and faith alone. Amen.
Now, if you prayed that prayer, get yourself into a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled, non-denominational church. Get water baptized by immersion, Holy Spirit baptized by those who have the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which will give you the power to walk the faith walk. Get into Christian community where they will teach you the Word of God. And I promise you, my friend, you will never again be the same, because the evidence that Jesus Christ is real is the proof of changed lives by the millions worldwide. God bless you, and God willing, talk to you next week.
This program was brought to you by the volunteers of the International Radio Ministry of Souls Harbor Covenant Church, Miami, Florida, USA. We desire that this broadcast become a spiritual nourishment and blessing to you. There's a lot of Christian entertainment and testimony activity on TV and radio worldwide, but there's a greater need for instruction in the Word and the ways of God. Our desire is to help fill that need. If this program has been a blessing to you and others, you may wish to become a contributor to this ministry as you feel led by the Holy Spirit. Your contribution in the form of an international money order or personal check stateside would be greatly appreciated to carry on God's work and to keep us on the air. If you can't afford to support us financially, please be our covenant partner through your prayer support. Pray that our mission will be carried out according to God's will as we carry out His command that our voice go into all the earth and our words to the end of the world. We pray that this program is a blessing to you and that you'll tell others about us. Burns' classic and timeless Bible teachings given over many years past are highly anointed and are now available on cassette tapes along with his books and other ministry materials that teach the believer to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to hear from you. Write us or send us a postcard with a clear return address requesting our catalog or making your comments. Our address is Walking in Power, P.O. Box 161322, Miami, Florida, USA 33176. Or for telephone orders using your credit card, call toll-free 1-888-273-WORD. That's 1-888-273-9673. Until next week, we remind you that the Bible tells us that there is no salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, and that there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved from our sins. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and as a living person, willing and able to get involved in your life, shouldn't you? Invite Him into your heart today to be Lord and Savior, and receive Him by a trusting faith alone. If you want to know more about the necessity of being saved, write us. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We hope you'll tune in next week at this same time as we bring you more of the Holy Spirit's timely Bible teachings through Bern Zumpano. Until then, God bless you and keep you in His love. Walking in Power is a production of United Ministries International.